Good morning.
Morning.
It's certainly good to have each one out today. It's good to have our visitors with us, and we always welcome you back. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. The title of the lesson is Exceeding the Norm, that usually the church allows its standard of right and wrong to be closer to the world than the closer to Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus talks about how the Christian needs to be distinctive than other people. 5:13, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It's good for nothing anymore, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I mean, just common salt. My wife's had chemotherapy, and her taste buds are shot, and she pours pepper on things, you know, and salt, you know, it just tends to be to the extreme. But, you know, you eat food with this tasteless, salt is that ingredient that makes the difference. You're the salt of the earth. You're different. If you're not different, what use are you to Jesus? I mean, there's a uniqueness within the Christian that Jesus can use for the benefit of other people. If it becomes tasteless, how are you going to get it back? It's hard for Christians, once they lose that uniqueness, for them to get it back. And you know, it becomes useless and you just throw it out. Well, verse 20, what makes the Christian distinct is his attitude about righteousness. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Boy, they can't follow the people in the first century. The religious people around them, the scribes were the kind of the lawyers of the law of Moses. The Pharisees were a sect of people who followed that strict interpretation. The majority of people were Pharisees. And he tells his disciples, unless you surpass their standard, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. The place where God rules in the spirit of men, the place where He rules, there has to be a higher standard of righteousness. And you just can't settle for the norm around the world around you religiously. I mean, what they are following is not acceptable. In verse 21-22, He tells them, your standard falls short. And He begins to explain it. Verse 21, you've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. Now you've heard, that's what the interpreter said. And there were two different groups, Hillel and Shammai, and they were on opposite ends. One was liberal, one was conservative. And they made their interpretations of the same law. And he said, you've heard you shall not commit murder. Yeah, murder's bad. They'll haul you into court for that. Okay, as long as you don't commit murder, anything goes. That's what you've heard. Verse 22. But I say to you, what you've heard is wrong. What you've heard is unacceptable to God. And they don't know the difference. But I say to you, that everyone who's angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Oh, you're saying we don't go to court before you kill somebody, before you take their life. Anything else goes. I say the standard starts with anger. We can haul you into court for anger. Being angry. Now, when you're angry, you're not harboring wishes of goodwill and peace on earth. I mean, there's a lot of things starting to develop in that person directed toward other people that's going to harm them. And he says, there's degrees of sin. And what you've heard, as long as you don't murder, you won't go to court. You can be hauled into court for being angry, for wishing inwardly people to be hurt. Secondly, verse 22, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. You know, there's degrees of attitude toward people when you're upset with them. And you may be justified in being upset, but there's dangers lurking everywhere. And you're going to call them Raca, you know, you empty-headed person, you good for nothing. You start to deride. You look down on, you speak with contempt and derision toward people whose life within you wouldn't take. But boy, you'll beat it into the ground if you can. You'll make them look as little as possible with your words. He said, we'll take you to the Supreme Court on that. That's getting more serious. And thirdly, verse 22, and whoever shall say you fool should be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Their standard was, as long as you don't murder, you can call anybody anything you want to do. You can be as angry and hateful as you want to be, and there's no problem. It was surface. It was shallow. It wasn't about the heart, about the real person. It is the starting of the anger, and it growing and growing. It leads to something premeditated. Normally, most crimes aren't crimes of passion. Occasionally, murder is, but most of the time, it's thought out. It didn't start one day, and all of a sudden, in 10 seconds, you decided to shoot all the postal employees. Been going on for a while. Well, Christian standards have to be higher than just, I didn't kill nobody today. Aren't you proud of me, Lord? No, it goes past that. You know, and you know, you're talking about calling them an idiot, a moron. I mean, you're now being really derogatory and trying to destroy them personally with words. Verse 23 and 24, Jesus says, do not bother to approach the God. If your attitude towards your brother's not right, if you've done them wrong, don't bother. Worship is about coming before God with a pure heart. That's why that new stuff in the church is totally worthless. We're not here to worship God. We're here to entertain. If you've been calling your brother names, don't bother to show up to worship. No, that's not acceptable. Verse 23, if therefore you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. You know, you come and you make an offering to God. And there you remember, I've done my brother wrong. I've done him wrong. Well, I mean, that's the point, though, of worship, is to help you clean out the heart. To get rid of things that are terrible and dark and malicious within the being. You're there to worship and make an offering to God. And thinking about God and God's holiness, all of a sudden it dawns on you. I've done my brother wrong. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11, we read it a lot here when we take the Lord's Supper, verse 23 through 28. And you know, they despise their brethren, they're eating a common meal, and they don't think about their brethren, and then they go in and go take the Lord's Supper as if we're all one, we love each other. Oh, he comes down on that real hard, and he starts talking about proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. I mean, in the night Jesus was betrayed, he had love for people in his heart. There was a willingness to sacrifice his life. And you're going to take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him with the wrong approach, with the wrong attitude towards your brethren? No, he starts talking about in an unworthy manner. And therefore, you're guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. You're on the other side. You're not on Jesus' side. Then he starts talking about verse 28, about examining yourself. If you examine yourself in taking the Lord's Supper, it's an opportunity to walk out free of all those things that can harbor your heart, that can destroy your life and hurt other people. If you examine yourselves, you and the Lord can work it out, and you'll work it out with other people. You know, and you know, if you eat, drink judgment to yourself. And he says that's why a number of you are weak and sick and asleep, because I've been taking action. Well, notice verse 24. Leave your offering there before the altar. And go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Stop right there. Go make it right now. And then come back and talk to me about honoring me and about how great I am and how much you want to do my will. Get it right with your brother first and then come. everything's fine. You know, if you hold your place and look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, you know, that's the test. In a church, we're on such a low level of understanding brotherhood, and that if you're in Christ Jesus, Jesus died for you. Jesus, your brother. Everybody else is part of the family. And how you treat them is important. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. It's incompatible to say you love God and have hate for your brother in your heart. That's a lie. Continuing on, for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Our love of the brethren, the willingness to remove evil things from our heart toward people, is the proof that we got the love of God within. That you can't see God. And the only reason we know you have God within is when we see God-like things happening. Oh, you know, I love God, but I hate some of the brethren. You really? No, Jesus died for everybody. You know, you go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 25 and 26.
That's what I've
got to
do at the moment.
So I'm even excited. I have to slow down. I've been getting ahead of myself lately. I mean, I'm running words ahead in my mind than what's coming out. And I'm slurring and stumbling. And in Matthew chapter 25 through 26, he says, solve it now. There shouldn't be no problems between you and your brother. If you've done your brother wrong, we're not talking about minute things. I used to preach in Centralia, Illinois, and this guy come out every week of the auditorium. He said, I got a bone to pick with you. Every week. Hallelujah. Good to see you. You know, most of the time, I didn't use this verse or that verse. But it's, you know, it's minute stuff. We're not talking about minute stuff. We're talking about doing your brother wrong, and he has just cause. He has a real grievance against you. Now, you need to go make it right. And then come back and worship the Lord. Now, you don't have to do that. Verse 25. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you paid up the last cent. You have to solve problems between people before you get to the court. If you get to the judge, it's too late. And so everything is motivating the Christian to watch your own heart. Even when it starts, anger starts, watch it. You know where it's going. You know where it's going. And I can't end up being the cause of problems without being a problem with God myself. And if I don't want to settle it, and it's gone so long, and I'm bitter and resentful, and I don't want to solve it, and I don't make any attempt to rectify it, and we get to court, you're going to pay every cent, every cent. I mean, we're talking about the fiery hell. We're talking about never-ending death. Deterioration, nothing changes for the better. It always continues to get worse forever and ever. It can end up there if you're not careful. Well, look at Ephesians. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 3. God knows this is a struggle for people. And that's why baptism is in the middle of salvation. It is the core of salvation. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into His death? You know, they might not know that. That baptism is being put into Christ spiritually. Your spirit and His spirit become one. And God allows you to become one with Him in the death of Jesus. As He's dying for the sins of the world, you get to die to sin too. You get to participate in what's being accomplished there. Baptism is the point where it happens. Verse 20, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism is about putting out of existence that old nature of yours that has so quick a tendency to react in malicious ways, in worse ways, unloving ways. And we bury it. If we bury a loved one, we don't go looking for them. no more. And baptism is about being raised to walk in newness of life. You enter into a new world spiritually, which is now dominated by God. You know what that means? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And what it means to the subject today, you know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26-27. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Anger is the starting point. Someone may have done you wrong. You know, it hurt. But what you have to remember at that point, it can get out of control. One match fire. One fire. One match in California. What? Thousands of acres are consumed. Your life can be consumed by one problem that goes against you. And the resentment comes in, the bitterness. He says, be angry and yet do not sin. Get control of it. Don't let the sun go down your anger. Deal with it today. Let it go. Why would you do that? Well, you got a new self. You can do it. Verse 27, and do not give the devil an opportunity. You're out of control with anger and you don't want to listen to nobody. And the devil says, oh my goodness, I'm the only one he's going to listen to. You give the devil an opportunity to ruin your life, ruin other people's lives. And you lose your influence on other people. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Think. What's needed? What should I say? And a lot of times, it's nothing. You compound the problem. Especially husband and wife arguing on the little low levels. They can get to the big level real quick. All you got to do is say something emotionally or something personal. Oh, but what? Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Only such a word is good for edification. It's going to build up. You know, notice he says, according to the need of the moment. Christians are thinking about this. That I'm angry. But they know it's dangerous. And they know if they carry it too far, they're going to be guilty too. And if they don't find a way out of it, that's not going to end very well eternally. They have to settle that thing. Where if you settle it within, my approach is, I'm going to watch what I say. Especially when it's heated. I'm going to ask myself, what do I need to say? For the need of the moment. And any that he may give grace to those who hear. You're trying to build people up. You're not trying to hurt people. The Lord's going to take care of the bad people. That's the least of your worries. Bad people with bad hearts continue to do the same old thing and it grows. And it gets worse and worse and worse. With moments of interlude and then we go again because it's deep within. I've always said that you need to practice these things when you're young. You get older and you get in the nursing home and you know you hear some nice people doing a lot of cussing. You start losing control of your faculties and you're going to be a worse, worse person if you're not careful. Now, where did that come from? Whoa, I don't know. Well, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You possess the Holy Spirit at baptism. It's the proof that you're children of God. And if you grieve the Holy Spirit, He can be hurt by ungodliness, by evil thoughts, evil intents, evil words. And He leaves. What are you going to do in the day of redemption? You don't have nobody pleading for you. It's the point. That's why you need to watch it. And verse 31, 32, the secret to all of it, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Let it be put away from you. The key word is let it go. If you will let it go, the Lord will put it away from you. If it's going to cost you your soul by you clinging to it, the Lord gets any opportunity, He will remove that. But if you won't let go of it, then it's yours. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Well, we have motivation to forgive. We have motivation to be kind and tenderhearted. The day we were being baptized, what? We were pleading for mercy. We wanted some kindness. We wanted some graciousness. And we got it. God in Christ has also forgiven you. Well, there's a lot of stake at that point if you want to go down this road of anger. If you lack it. You love that world of darkness kind of coming in over your mind and soul. But you know, the Christian can be kind. You know, they can do it. They can rise above it. They can let it go. They can put something else in that's good. And they can be useful to the Lord. And even when they don't want to do it, they can find reason to do it. That I've forgiven you. That you have been forgiven. What does that mean to you?
Well, you've got to be angry. You've got to be bitter. I mean, to think about those things and go ahead and do it anyway. Knowing what you're giving up. Anger is my worst. Flash anger. Yeah. It's easy, it's natural. But boy, you have to learn to yield, let things go. Let the Lord handle it. Oh, their standard? As long as you don't murder nobody? You don't go to court? It's okay. And Jesus says, but I say to you, you know, if you're angry with your brother, you're guilty before the court. Your standard's wrong. And you don't even know it. And when you don't know it's wrong, you just rush in headlong without any self-control. And part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. God's trying to get a hold of you and me. Jesus was saying it in Matthew 5. There is a dangerous road to go down. All these people interpreting the law that you're hearing are saying the inner man doesn't matter. It matters to God. And we're going to give you a new self at baptism. Just like God. And you can choose as Christians which to follow. If you're here today and need to respond anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing?